Today I'm reading John 6, 1 through 15, and I will tell you, I don't know how Lynn knew that this was me, but growing up in school and going to church at Calvin Memorial in Aetna, this was the first time I really believed there was a God that could do miracles, when I heard this scripture and we learned a scripture. After Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, a multitude followed him because they saw the signs which he did on those who were diseased. Jesus went up on the mountains and there sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then and seeing that a multitude was coming to him, Jesus said to Philip, "How are we to buy bread so that these people can eat?" This he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered, 200 denarii would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little. One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they among so many?" Jesus said, "People, make the people sit." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number, about 5,000. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed it to them, to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over, that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign which he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. And I forgot what you're supposed to say at the end.
Bless the reading.
That's the reading of the scripture.
Thank you. Have you ever noticed that when we have a potluck dinner or there's always food left over? It always happens. The same when we have our pig roasts, or when we have a funeral luncheon, or when we have our Thanksgiving community dinner. There's always food left over. And I always see people, "Oh, we're going to have enough. Is this enough chicken? Is this enough of this?" There's always, and people even take food home. Some people say this is what happened when Jesus fed the multitude with the 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. Some people say that they shared what they have and there was more than enough to go around. It always amazes me how much food is left over at a meal. But I'm going to take you to a place I think that's not really what happened. You want to hear a groaner this morning? Some of my jokes you just groan at anyway, so... You know what a loaf is. You know what fish is. Loaf is a bread. So, little boy asks what his favorite Bible story was one day. He said, "Oh, I don't know. I guess it's the one about the crowd that loafs and fishes." Come on, groan. There you go. I feel better now. Today's story is one of the best known stories about Jesus. In fact, it's the only miracle that is contained in all of the Gospels. That alone makes it important, I think, for us to study and to take seriously. We know that people are following Jesus wherever he went, in boats, on the sea, or on land, on foot. And there was no place for Jesus to hide. But Jesus was filled with compassion by the great need that the crowd had. In today's lesson from John's Gospel, seeing the great multitude, Jesus asked Philip, one of his disciples, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" Philip seemed surprised by the question, with good reason. Philip was from the area and he would have known all the local resources where they could acquire food. His answer, "Lord, it would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." He was saying that there was no earthly way that this many people could be fed at this time. From a human standpoint, he is absolutely correct. There was no restaurants or supermarkets nearby, or even if there were, they didn't have anywhere near enough money to buy food for a crowd that large. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, he spoke up and he said, "Here's a boy with five small barley loaves and two small fish, but how far is this going to go?" And that's a very good question. The needs are so great. Our resources are so few. From where will the necessary help come? So often in ministry, we're faced with needs, and all we can see, and it's human nature at times, is to see the insufficiency of our church's budget and the impossible way to meet the needs that we have here at Glenshaw Valley. The early church in Acts had that same problem on the very first day that it began. 3,000 Jews were converted, and the young church had to help these people. You really have to understand that when they converted to Christianity, their Jewish families disowned them. So what do? Abandon. Nowhere to go. No food to eat. That's why we read in Acts 2:45 that these Christians came together and they sold their possessions to give people what they needed to help. And Jesus had compassion on the people. So did the early church. John calls this event a sign. And I like that. I always, when I think about it, just reminded of the song back from the late 60s, early 70s, "Signs, signs, everywhere signs." And I think about that. When we look to Jesus, there are signs everywhere that he was the Messiah. He was the one anointed from God, the one sent from God for the salvation of the Jewish people and the rest of the world. John's record of the life of Jesus is very specific in his purpose. In John 20:31, it says, "That you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing, you may have life in his name." So he just didn't do miracles haphazardly. It was to show also the people that he is the Son of God, the one that he says. And John refers to all of Jesus' miracles as signs. Signs that Jesus was the Messiah. And that particular sign was a very spectacular one because it made Jesus wildly popular to the people. They even wanted to make him king, and that's why he slipped away. He did not want to be an earthly king. And I'm not sure that just getting the crowd to share with one another would make that much of an impression on the people. It'd be a good thing. Everybody bring out what you have, let's share so we can all eat. But that's not the way that it happened. Jesus multiplied the loaves. He multiplied the bread. Always think, when you read this story, and they took a basket and they shared it, and at the end, it was all brought back. How many baskets did they bring? 12 baskets. How many disciples? 12 disciples. I can just see each disciple holding a basket full of bread and fish and just looking at it. He did it. How did he do it? He must be the Messiah. Of course, none of us knows how he really performed the miracle, except that it came from God. Or how he changed the water to wine in another of Jesus' stories. Or how he healed the blind man. Or how he raised the dead. All we can do is agree with John that this is a sign that Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. And that by believing, we may have life in his name. There's so much to see in this story. Jesus was concerned with people's needs, and he met those needs. Jesus saw the people and their need, and he felt compassion towards them. There's a legend about Martin of Tours, who's said to be the first military chaplain. He followed the Roman army from place to place, and he ministered to the soldiers, and he ministered to the people even that were conquered. One cold winter day, he was following the Roman army into a city, and there was a beggar at the gates of the city, freezing from the cold and asking for money. Martin had been in the field with the soldiers for weeks, and he didn't have any food. He didn't have any money himself. So he took off his old battered Roman soldier's cloak that he was wearing. He took the sword, took it out of his sheath, and he cut the cloak in half. And he gave half of the cloak to the beggar, and then he kept the other half of the cloak for himself. That night, Martin had a dream which he found himself as an observer of a scene in heaven. He saw Jesus surrounded by a group of angels, and Jesus was wearing half of a Roman soldier's cloak. One of the angels asked Jesus, "Master, where did you get that dirty old cloak torn in half from a Roman soldier?" And in the soft silence of the angels, as they waited for Jesus to answer, he heard Jesus say, "My good servant Martin gave it to me." Whenever we do something in the name of Jesus, we're doing it for him and we're doing it for other people. It is a servant of Jesus Christ. Jesus saw the crowds and he had compassion on them. Jesus taught what it is the kingdom of heaven is really all about, not what their preconceived notions were. Sometimes we can ignore people's needs, but not Jesus. He was moved with compassion by the people's needs, and he sought time and time again to help them. He viewed them as sheep without a shepherd, lost and helpless. He saw them as without guidance and nourishment or protection. And Jesus not only had compassion on the crowd, he was also moved to actually do something and help them. Many people look on others in need with compassion, but they're not moved to help those people. One day a student asked anthropologist Margaret Mead, "What is the earliest signs of civilization?" And if you're asked that question, you know, I would think, well, the wheel or something like that, or maybe a clay pot or a grinding stone, showing that they've got intelligence and they're doing things. But her answer was totally different. It said a healed femur. Now, the femur is the thigh bone. In society based on hunting and gathering, a person with a fractured thigh bone would be useless. Mead explained that no heel firmers are found where the laws of the jungle, laws of the survival of the fittest go. They didn't care. A healed femur shows that someone cared. Someone had to hunt, someone had to gather for this man so he could eat, so he could survive, so he could live. She says the evidence of compassion is what shows the sign, the first sign of civilization. Mike Barrett, in his book, The Danger Habit, tells how difficult it is for highly competitive people to have compassion. And I told this story a few years ago, but I want to share it again. He tells about men who tried to climb Mount Everest. You know, so many people do it nowadays. This was in 2006, and some of the choices that they were forced to make as they climbed that mountain. He tells about a 50-year-old climber named Lincoln Hill, who was left for dead by the team and other passing climbers on the side of that treacherous mountain. But a small group of men led by Dan Mazur of the U.S. stopped their ascent up to that mountain, and they helped this man, and they took him down the mountain to safety, and they did not get the climb to the peak. Weeks later, the guy who led the rescue told it on the Today Show, said, "We immediately sprang into action. You have to think very quickly up there. If you mess around and start thinking about what to do, the person could already be gone. They could already die." But this story of heroism, self-sacrifice, contrasted with another less heroic story that took place only days earlier on the mountain. 34-year-old David Sharp died as 40 climbers passed him and refused to help him. Think of that. One climber is left for dead. Someone helps, takes him down to the mountain, doesn't get to climb the mountain that they had wanted to do for so long. Another is left to die, and he dies. David Sharp was left to die so the other climbers could complete their ascent up that mountain. To a point, we can understand the motivation of those who passed by. Someone else will take care of him. It's not my problem. They had invested many years, planned this trip, dreamed about it, and all they cared about was reaching that summit. They probably asked themselves, "You throw away all that to help another person who might not survive anyway, may not make it anyway." They do if they are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't even have an option. Jesus had compassion on the people, and he was moved to act. Before they could meet the people's needs, though, they had to get organized. They needed a plan. Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Simple, but it was a plan. Sit down, first of all. There was plenty of grass in that place, so they sit on that hill. There was about 5,000 men, the Bible tells us, and sometimes women aren't included, so there could have been from 5,000 to 10,000 people on that mountain with the women and the children. A lot of people to feed. Jesus told them to sit down. Then he took the loaves, gave thanks, blessed it, and had it distributed to those who were seated. And I like this part, as much as they wanted. It wasn't just a bite or two, just to sustain them for a little while. It was a meal. He did the same with the fish, and when they all had enough to eat, he said to the disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." And I like that. So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. And it's an amazing story. Jesus feeding 10,000, maybe 10,000 people with 5 small barley loaves and 2 fish. How did he do it? Because that's impossible to do. You can't do it. Some theologians said he did it by getting the people to share what they had. Like people at a covered dish dinner sharing all, that there's plenty of food left over. And it's a good explanation, though again, I'm not sure, and I don't believe that that is the explanation. I believe it was a miracle. He multiplied by an act of God. Notice that John says next, after the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who has come into the world." You know, we, and it's easy to do in the church, are always worrying about where the money is coming from. And I'll be honest, I have been guilty of that myself at times. Thinking that God is not going to provide for us if we are faithful to Him. And this is a part I love. When Jesus fed the multitude with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, say it again, there were 12 baskets left over. As the church, we need to make sure that we act with compassion, with caring, with love, with giving. That's what the story says to us. Jesus saw the multitude and had compassion on them and did something about it. He didn't turn his back and walk away and say, "This is too much." What can we do in our community to show that we have compassion for those who are in need the most? We're already doing some things with our garden, with the Thanksgiving, the angel tree. What can we do? Whether it's physical, emotional, or spiritual, we need to see and we need to act. May God bless you. Amen.